You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. College basketball starts today, Tony. Your Binghamton Bearcats take on my Northwestern Wildcats. You got any trash you want to talk?
And Tony Kornheiser, how'd your football team handle Iowa? How'd that work out?
Well, we handled them better than anybody Binghamton handled on Saturday. Who'd you have Saturday?
We don't play football.
Oh,
Binghamton.
Oh, wow.
I thought you knew that.
Oh, man.
Your game against Iowa had the lowest over-under number in recorded history.
Yeah.
And they were still under.
Way under. I was there.
I
front and center.
And you sang. Have you told people that you sang?
No, I didn't.
That
tell
you actually
that.
Sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game? It was great.
It honestly was.
I'm so proud of you.
I appreciate that.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Eagles edge the Cowboys. CJ Stroud puts up some huge numbers, and the Cubs hired Craig Counsell away from the Brewers.
Wow.
But we begin today with the top of the AFC. The Bengals beat the visiting Bills. The Chiefs held on in Germany to beat the Dolphins. And the Ravens throttled Seattle and Baltimore. Wilbon, which of these three teams had the most significant win?
Tony, you know what? The Ravens were at home. Cincinnati was at home. There was no home team at all for the Kansas City-Miami game. And if somebody had gone out on the road and won, I would more easily pick that team.
Yeah.
But I've already condensed it for me to either Cincinnati or Baltimore. And Baltimore just throttled Seattle. Now, you and I had talked last week, and we thought, wow, this Seattle story is a nice little story. They're better than we think. We know they're well coached. This quarterback story is another layer of good story for Seattle. And then, boom. So Baltimore, a couple of times, they're coming around. I'm not certain, but Tony, the fact that they defensively, the Ravens, are where they are, where they were in 2000, back when they won a Super Bowl, when you put together that kind of defense statistically, and that's all it is, doesn't have the sort of star power or the anchor of a Ray Lewis. But when you do that, I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm going to get to where you are, but I'm going to take a slightly different route. I'm going to eliminate Kansas City right away. And yes, they won on a neutral site against a good team, but a good team that always loses when it plays good teams. Kansas City went out 21-0 and then just stopped.
Yeah.
By the end of the game, Kansas City had fewer net yards, fewer passing yards, fewer rushing yards than Miami. Their defense is very good as well, but their offense is dissolving, and I know you have a theory about that, but we're going to move on from that theory. Right. I was inclined towards Cincinnati and to pick them. And in fact, if they beat Baltimore in a division game, I will pick Cincinnati. I think when he's healthy, Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. He is now 5-1 all time against Mahomes and Josh Allen. But Buffalo is a team that is faltering now, Mike. They're not a playoff team right now. As Michael Ray Richardson famously said, the ship be sinking. So I align with you in Baltimore. Because of the last three games that they had, they totally pummeled Detroit. Detroit is a division-leading team a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they totally pummeled Seattle. Seattle was a division-leading team yesterday. Now, they beat a bad team in between Arizona, but they went on the road to do it, and it was between two tough games. They have the best defense in the league, 14 points a game, and their scoring differential is plus 115. It's the best in the league. So right now, like you,
Baltimore.
I think it's Baltimore.
They may be coming.
Yeah, I do.
They could be coming along. That Kansas City thing, we're going to keep revisiting that. Uh-huh.
I know we
couldn't score in the half. You guys, you and, you know, Jeff Saturday, Booger, you keep telling me how it's the receivers. You keep telling me that. I'm going to tell you something else. Let's move to the NFC where the Eagles improved to 8-1 after beating the Cowboys in Philly. Jalen Hurts ran for one touchdown, threw for two more. Dallas could have won in the final minute, as you know, but sabotaged their own late drive with a couple of penalties and stalled out just 4 yards from the end zone. Cowboys linebacker Michael Parsons said, quote, I don't think we failed. I think we've even got more confidence now, close quote. Tony, is that how you see this?
Not exactly, because they didn't win the game. They played the game close. They acquitted themselves well on the road, but they didn't win the game. Dak Prescott was terrific. He threw for 360 yards. He had no interceptions, so maybe that interception bug that he had last year is out of his system. And they had a chance late, a couple of chances late. They had agonizing plays that cost them 8 points. The tight end's knee went down before he could roll into the end zone, and Dak Prescott's foot was out of bounds on the two-point conversion. So I understand they could have won, but I come back to they didn't win. I think they're a good team. I think they're a playoff team. But at the moment, Mike, they remind me of Miami, a team that's good but doesn't close on other good teams.
Tony, the Cowboys only remind me of the Cowboys. They ultimately can't get it done. They're just short or just out of bounds or just can't come up on fourth and goal. That's what they do. Every year, this is their move. So, no, until the Cowboys show that particularly against worthy teams in important situations that they can actually close it, finish the game. I mean, there are baseball teams. God knows my Cubs have been one of them where they can't find a closer. And they look great for 8 2/3 innings for a number of weeks and months per season. And they can't get the three outs in the ninth. That's the Cowboys. That's what this version of the Cowboys is and has been for, what, 20 years? More than that, Tony. Closer to 30 now where this is what they do. So, no, I don't have confidence. If Michael Parsons wants to sell that and he can sell it in his room, good for him.
He can sell it in his locker room. Sell it in the locker room. I just want to make a couple of comments on the Eagles, who are a very resourceful team.
They are.
Aren't flashy, but are always in the game. They took the lead in the third quarter, and they held the lead. Do you know that Jalen Hurts, I think I have this right, is now 10-0 in the last two seasons in the regular season against teams with winning records, and 6-0 when the Philadelphia team falls behind by double digits? I mean, what more do you want, right? What more do you want? We move on. Wilbon, let's isolate on your least favorite position in football, quarterback.
Yeah.
There were two fabulous comeback performances yesterday by not-star quarterbacks.
Ooh.
Josh Dobbs led the Vikings over the Falcons despite having just arrived in Minnesota on Wednesday and not even taking a practice snap all week. And rookie C.J. Stroud led the Texans over the Buccaneers with 470 yards passing and 5 touchdowns. Wilbon, who had the more impressive performance, Stroud given the numbers or Dobbs given the circumstances?
Tony, you know, I'm really interested in both of these, and there's a personal interest. I watch a lot of the Cardinals, and I know that in his starts, he's like something like 1-9. But even when I'm watching him play and the Cardinals lose those games, there's several times every game where Dobbs will do something. I go, wow, this guy's got some talent. They don't win the games, and so you put it away, right? And C.J. Stroud, I've got, and I'm still riding with a quarterback from Ohio State, which is tough to say considering Ohio State has never done a damn thing at the quarterback position.
That's right.
But I'm with my guy. I'm with Justin Fields. I am. Yet, C.J. Stroud, man, he has gone out there, Tony, and he's killing it. He's your rookie of the year. He may get that team to the playoffs. Everything he does, you look at and just go, wow. Now, I may take Dobbs, given what his story. You can't do what he did. Tony, he goes out there, dude, he doesn't know the plays. The wide receivers are telling him in the huddle, here's what I'm doing. It's an amazing one-day thing. Stroud is amazing, period. That kid is taking off. I'm going to go with Dobbs. I'm going with him in this one situation.
So I'm perfectly willing, no matter who you took, to take the other person because it's that close.
It is.
It's a coin flip. I believe that Dobbs got his winning touchdown pass with 22 seconds to go and Stroud with six seconds to go.
Amazing.
And that's why I subscribe to the red zone. I was inclined towards Stroud because he's a rookie. He now has 14 touchdown passes and 1 interception.
Great.
He's the fourth-rated quarterback in the entire NFL, and he's a rookie, and rookies don't do that. They simply don't do that. And he might now, at this moment, Justin Fields notwithstanding, be the best Ohio State quarterback ever in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I wonder if at Carolina, they think maybe we made the wrong choice taking the other kid, the kid from Alabama. Maybe they did. Dobbs was fabulous. I'll just take about 15 more seconds. Dobbs was fabulous. As you say, he couldn't have known the plays. They were telling him in the huddle what the receivers were telling him what routes to run. And he gained 66 yards.
He ran the ball well.
So I've just convinced myself. I'll take him.
There you go.
I mean, and you're okay either way. You're okay either
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
Let's take a break. Coming up, was it really just a coaching change that made the Raiders look so much better?
And is Alabama suddenly more impressive than Georgia? Not on all cards. Not on all cards.
So I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to knock Bryce Young. That's his name, right? But
yes.
Stroud has looked great.
Not head-to-head.
He's a unanimous Rookie of the Year.
Head-to-head.
He's looked great. Pardon?
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Crown Royal, part of Happy Hour.
Time to find out what's popping with the populace. I will get the first one here. Written is so small that I need glasses. Do you believe that the coaching switch made all the difference for the Raiders yesterday?
I actually do, Tony. And you know, this seems a little bit knee-jerk. And, you know, it just, I read and listened to all the things leading up to it, how the players finally expressed their dissatisfaction with all the folks that, you know, the son of Al Davis canned the, you know, week of a game like this. And Tony, the reaction in the locker room just reflected the reaction of the team between the firing leading up to game day, how they did it all. Antonio Pierce, all of it, it just reflects. So, yes, they hated him, it seems. They made their dissatisfaction known before he was shown the door and even as he was being shown the door, and they acted on it yesterday. So I got to say, yes, I think it made all the difference.
Yeah. I don't think it made all the difference. I think a lot of the difference was playing the New York Giants. The Giants were terrible.
Fair enough.
They were terrible
fair
before
enough.
Daniel Jones and after Daniel Jones.
True.
But if you take your position, it's very hard for me to argue with this. Because, yes, the reaction of the players indicated they were much happier with Antonio Pierce than with Josh McDaniels. And you have to go on circumstance as well. In the previous 8 games for the Raiders, they never scored more than 21 points. They never gained over 100 yards rushing, and they always turned the ball over at least once. Yesterday, they scored 30, they got 125 rushing, and they did not turn the ball over. As a note of caution, our friend Jeff Saturday was in a similar circumstance last year with Indianapolis, and he won the first game, and they didn't win any other games.
Yeah,
just
but Josh McDaniels, though, Tone, the jury
note
seems to be back in, and the jury has said, no, not again, please, no more.
Here we go. Is Alabama more impressive than Georgia right now?
No, not to me. And I think maybe the most important or impressive thing Alabama did was actually a few weeks ago, you know, beating Mississippi and holding them to, I think, 10 points. When Mississippi scored a bunch of points and everybody else. No, I'm going to take Georgia. I know that it wasn't a kill shot they put on Mizzou Saturday, Tony. But, I mean, Georgia still is right there. Georgia still hasn't lost to anybody yet. I'm still with Georgia, I think. I got to see what happens. I mean, these are important games both Georgia and Alabama have coming up. But I'm going to say Georgia. I would still, if I was voting, I'm not, if I was, I would vote them ahead of Alabama right now. I would.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would stay with Georgia at the moment. Alabama had a great win beating LSU, which was ranked 14th. But Georgia beat Missouri, which was ranked 12th. You know, Georgia didn't lose last year. They didn't lose the year before. They haven't lost this year, rather, or last year. It seems like they haven't lost in 10 years. I want to see, everybody wants to see Georgia play Alabama.
SEC title.
The winner of that game is going to go to the playoffs, and maybe the loser of that game will go to the playoffs too. But Alabama lost at home this year to Texas, Mike, in what I think is the signature win of the entire season so far. So that's why I'm sticking with Georgia. It could change. I assume they're going to play in the SEC championship game, but Georgia has done nothing to diminish my confidence.
Nothing.
They continue to win without the best tight end in the country.
I told you, Tony, I would have voted Georgia ahead of Ohio State in the college football playoff. I would have. And Ohio State didn't cover itself in glory in that game with Rutgers on Saturday, so I might be okay, even though I understand the committee and what they did. I'm not taking shots at Georgia just yet. I'm not.
Let's take one last break, and still to come, after getting outscored again, Lincoln Riley makes a big change to his defense.
Yeah, should have made it about 10 weeks ago. And I'll offer some thoughts on my Cubs replacing David Ross's manager with Craig Counsell. Wow. That's a wow.
Is that difficult because Craig Counsell managed a rival?
They're up the road, man. I hate them. I hate the Brewers. Yeah. They're cheeseheads. I don't like them.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Crown Royal. Live life generously, and life will treat you royally. Please drink responsibly, and in part by Chewy. Get great deals that deliver the excitement this holiday at Chewy.
Happy time, people. Happy 36th birthday yesterday, Jason Kelce, the other Kelce, the one not dating Taylor Swift, the one who anchors the Eagles' offensive line at center. This Kelce is a five-time first-team All-Pro, and that's more than his brother. This Kelce was drafted in the sixth round in 2011, and his background includes playing baritone saxophone in the high school band, and more germane from a football standpoint, being a walk-on running back at the University of Cincinnati. Jason Kelce switched to fullback and eventually to offensive line. He ran the fastest 40 of all the offensive linemen at the 2011 Combine, 4.89. Consider this, a running back in college switches to offensive line and makes first team All-Pro five times. What?
Doesn't Jason Kelce, by virtue of being the big brother, get to give his little brother all the grief in the world for dating what's her name? No matter what all of her minions, her billions may think, don't you have to give your little brother grief, don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, he has the right to do that.
He has the right.
But to call her what's-her-name.
What's-her-name?
She's the most popular artist in the world.
Okay.
Stop it. Happy anniversary, Denny McClain and Mike Cuellar. On this day 54 years ago, these two top starters tied for the American League Cy Young Award, and each got one. McLain had won the Cy unanimously the year before after winning 31 games, which is still the most wins in 91 years. In this year, McLain won 24 games with a 2.80 ERA in a league-leading 325 innings for Detroit. Cuellar won 23 games, had a 2.38 ERA for Baltimore, and led the O's to the World Series, where he started two games against the Miracle Mets, allowing just two runs in 13 innings. Both McLain and Cuellar received 10 first-place votes from the baseball writers. This never happened before, hasn't happened since.
Tony, it's an indictment of baseball. Every time we do one of these anniversaries, it's an indictment. And you say, there's nobody like this in today's game. 325 innings for the league leader. You know what the league leader this year was? 216. That's a third. That's what are we talking about here?
You shout about baseball every time we do this.
Do.
It's the same shout. You
hate
baseball. It's an
indictment. It's an indictment. Nobody like these guys.
Happy trails, Alex Grinch, your boy, Wilbon.
Yeah.
USC's defensive coordinator was dismissed yesterday after USC gave up 52 points to Washington on Saturday. USC has given up 101 points in its last two games and has given up 40-plus points in five of its last six. USC has now lost three of its last four games. They needed 50 to win that one game. USC's defense is ranked 120th against the run and 107th against the pass. USC coach Lincoln Riley had brought Grinch with him from Oklahoma. Defensive line coach Sean Nua and linebackers coach Brian Odom will be co-coordinators for the rest of the season. USC's next game at number six, Oregon, a team with plenty of offense.
Explosive. Tony, I'm sure he's a very nice man, but that defense was so bad. You can't imagine a school with the resources of USC. I mean, financial resources, human resources, being that bad on the side of the ball for this long. It's been too long.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any criticism of Caleb Williams. They give up 50 routinely. Stop the madness.
And a bonus happy trails to the Brewers for Craig Counsell. The Cubs have lured the team's longtime manager down I-94 from Milwaukee with a five-year deal worth $8 million per. And here's how rare that is. Bob Nightingale of USA Today reports no manager in the majors currently makes more than $4.5 million. Counsell spent nine seasons managing the Brewers, making the playoffs in five of the last 6 years. So this means David Ross is out. Wilbon, what does it say to you?
Tony, I don't like this. I'm a David Ross guy. I mean, he and now Maddox, I guess, the last guys, not Maddox, but he's the last guy left from the 2016 World Series. Hendricks. And so I don't like this move. And they're bringing in Counsell from enemy lines, from behind enemy lines in Milwaukee. Obviously, he's terrific. But the Cubs don't pay like this. They're paying him that much more than any other manager in the game. Wow, is all
it
I got to say. Wow.
Seems to be. Quick to the big finish.
Let's
two other new managers. The Mets hired Yankees coach Carlos Mendoza. The Guardians hired Mariners coach Stephen Vogt. Your thoughts?
They're both worthy. Seem to have all the qualifications in the world. I understand it. Advanced scout Connor Stallions resigned from Michigan Friday night. Does that make sense to you?
Had to do it. He's at the center of the storm. Had to do it. C.J. McCollum suffering from a partially collapsed lung. Your thoughts?
He missed several weeks with this in the 22 season, Tony. He's the most important guy on that team. Not the best, but they're still 4-2, 4-1. The most important player on that team, the adult in the room. College basketball season starts tonight. Will Binghamton upset Northwestern?
I love my school. We are underdogs by 19.5. If you give me 25, I'll make the bet.
25.
Last one, James Harden, 25. Makes his Clippers debut tonight at the Knicks. What do you expect?
Kawhi, Russ, PG-13, and Harden all healthy and playing. That's an upset.
Big upset. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now to get you set for Monday Night Football, here's Scott Van Pelt in the countdown crew. Tony, I'm not giving you 25. I'm not.
Whoa.
Really?
Would you give me 28?
No, I'm not giving you 28.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.